SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia.
Pendengar, Human Rights Watch telah merilis tinjauan tahunannya tentang praktek hak asasi manusia di seluruh dunia. Dan laporan organisasi itu menemukan beberapa praktek yang mencoreng catatan hak asasi manusia Australia. Berikut ini laporan tentang hal itu yang disusun oleh Sophie Bennett untuk SBS News. Ada lebih dari 4.500 anak di bawah pengawasan peradilan anak di seluruh negara ini setiap harinya. Lebih dari separuh, yaitu 57% dari anak-anak itu adalah warga pribumi. Dalam laporan World Watch tahunannya, Human Rights Watch mengatakan perlakuan Australia terhadap anak-anak dalam sistem peradilan pidana di antara isu-isu lainnya telah mencoreng catatan hak asasi manusia negara ini, dan ini bukan pertama kalinya mereka menyebut hal tersebut.
It's gone from bad to worse. What we do know as well in Australia is that there's no Human Rights Act. So there's no overarching piece of legislation that sort of puts all the human rights regulations and rules and responsibilities into one place. Australia is the only liberal democracy that doesn't have a Human Rights Act.
Itulah yang disampaikan oleh Daniela Gafson, Direktur Human Rights Watch Australia. Ia mengatakan laporan itu meninjau praktik hak asasi manusia di lebih dari 100 negara. Meski bukan alat penilaian atau perbandingan, laporan ini menyoroti tren global.
There were 70 elections last year in 2024 across the globe. Many of these elections we saw leaders, autocratic or authoritarian leaders who had platforms of, anti-rights agendas or agendas that sort of single out or are oppressive against minorities gaining traction and gaining support. Obviously that's incredibly concerning and worrying.
Salah satu peristiwa yang paling memprihatinkan dalam 12 bulan terakhir adalah terpilihnya kembali Donald Trump sebagai presiden di Amerika Serikat.
Obviously, the election in the US will have a significant impact on the rest of the world, and it is yet to be seen what will happen. But we obviously have seen a Trump presidency before. We take Trump at his word, and when he says that, he talks about, things that he will do, policies he'll implement that will seriously undermine the rights of asylum seekers and migrants or women. We are deeply concerned about that.
Daniela Gafson mengatakan bahwa ada beberapa pergerakan positif pada tahun-tahun yang lalu.
Despite grave human rights violations and war crimes and crimes against humanity being committed, we did see really strong resistance and protests from people within those countries. And that really brings some hope. We saw, for example, in Bangladesh, you had student-led protests that really pushed against the repressive rule of Sheikh Hasina and eventually led to her fleeing the country and an interim government that is now promising to be far more rights-respecting.
Seperti tahun-tahun sebelumnya, laporan ini mengakui Australia sebagai negara demokrasi yang dinamis yang sebagian besar melindungi hak-hak sipil dan politik warga negaranya. Namun kekhawatiran seputar perlakuan Australia terhadap kaum muda dalam sistem peradilan pidana serta perlakuannya terhadap pencari suaka telah ditandai sebagai masalah yang terus berlanjut.
They keep appearing because I think on some level human rights aren't placed at the forefront of government policy. I think a lot of the time they become politicised. Certainly we see that with the refugee and asylum seeker issues and the way Australia treats refugees and asylum seekers. Certainly what we've seen is massive backsliding in terms of youth justice.
Selama setahun terakhir, pemerintah khususnya di Northern Territory dan Queensland telah menjalankan pendekatan keras terhadap kejahatan. Catherine Hayes adalah kepala eksekutif dari Youth Advocacy Centre di Queensland. Ia mengatakan hal ini mencerminkan tren yang lebih luas.
It's interesting that retribution and punishment has become The predominant narrative here in Queensland, and it's something that's echoed across Australia and even in other countries such as the United States and the UK. And it seems to be a combination of a heightened awareness of local crime through social media, sensationalist reporting, and also this ongoing distrust of institutions like the judiciary and the government.
Telah diketahui bahwa pihak berwenang di Queensland terus menahan anak-anak di rumah jaga dan menurunkan usia tanggung jawab pidana di wilayah utara dari 12 menjadi 10 tahun pada bulan Oktober yang lalu. Pada bulan yang sama, pihak berwenang wilayah utara mengumumkan bahwa penutup kepala yang menimbulkan masalah hak asasi manusia akan kembali digunakan pada anak-anak. Ms. Hayes mengatakan anak-anak seusia ini tidak seharusnya dikurung.
Seeing a 10-year-old being locked up in a detention center or a watch house is absolutely horrific and alarming because these are kids who are still developing, and for a 10, 11, 12 or 13-year-old to end up in detention or in the state's custody, there has to be something that's gone seriously wrong in their lives.
Pada bulan Agustus tahun lalu, Komisioner Anak-anak Nasional Australia menyerukan perubahan signifikan terhadap cara pemerintah menangani peradilan anak. Laporan itu yang berjudul Bantu Lebih Awal membuat 24 rekomendasi termasuk menaikkan usia pertanggungjawaban pidana menjadi 14 tahun, melarang kurungan isolasi, dan secara konsisten memantau semua fasilitas penahanan anak. Ms. Gafson mengatakan menaikkan usia pertanggungjawaban pidana menjadi 14 tahun di semua negara bagian dan teritori merupakan langkah awal yang penting.
I think that's something that most human rights groups, or all human rights groups, would unanimously agree on, both in Australia and globally. It's just an unacceptably low age for criminal responsibility.
Namun untuk mencapainya, perubahan harus dari tingkat federal.
I think in Queensland, the climate is very much hostile to children and children's rights. So I'm pessimistic that any kind of human rights approach is going to get any traction in Queensland. I think that we need to have a united federal approach that doesn't focus on tough on crime, but looks at these wicked problems of disadvantage, neglect, child abuse.
Laporan tersebut juga mengkritik keputusan Australia untuk terus mengirimkan orang-orang yang berupaya mencapai negara itu dengan perahu ke tempat penahanan lepas pantai di Pulau Nauru di Pasifik. Pada bulan November, pemerintah mengeluarkan undang-undang baru yang memberikan kewenangan untuk membayar negara pihak ketiga menerima pengungsi bukan warga negara, termasuk pengungsi yang diakui, serta menjatuhkan hukuman penjara bagi mereka yang menolak deportasi dan melarang penggunaan telepon di pusat penahanan.
Offshore processing and temporary protection visas were things of the past. They existed under the Howard era, but they were abolished for a reason, and they were abolished because it demonstrated that people were suffering under these policies, that people were suffering under the way Australia was treating them. And to see them reintroduced over the past decade and to see people's rights and liberties continue to be curtailed in the way that they have under successive governments has been deeply, deeply, deeply concerning.
Itulah tadi komentar dari Sarah Dill, pengacara utama Refugee Advice and Casework Service. Ia merupakan bagian dari perjuangan hukum yang berujung pada keputusan PBB minggu lalu yang menyatakan Australia melanggar perjanjian hak asasi manusia dengan menahan sekelompok pencari suaka termasuk anak-anak di bawah umur di pulau terpencil di Pasifik yaitu Nauru, bahkan setelah mereka diberi status pengungsi. Ia mengatakan penting bagi Australia untuk mengakui betapa signifikan pelanggaran hukum internasional yang dilakukannya.
If Australia just recognised our obligations, processed people swiftly and supported people as we should, we would be also alleviating a significant amount of suffering, not only for the individuals here in Australia, but globally also.
Laporan itu juga menekankan bahwa Australia harus berbuat lebih banyak untuk melindungi hak asasi manusia di seluruh dunia. Ms. Gafson mengatakan bahwa penggunaan alat-alat seperti sanksi oleh Australia masih kurang.
The Australian government placed sanctions on violent West Bank settlers, on Hamas leaders, on officials from Iran and from Myanmar. But there's a glaring gap in that we have not seen any sanctions on Chinese officials for crimes against humanity that are committed in Xinjiang, in Tibet, and even, officials that are responsible for, the repressive and sort of massive backsliding we're seeing in Hong Kong.
Ia mengatakan Human Rights Watch makin khawatir mengenai erosi hukum internasional dan menyerukan agar lebih banyak negara meningkatkan upaya dalam menggunakan sistem hukum internasional.
For example, we saw Gambia and Mexico really pushing, being the leaders in pushing for a global treaty on crimes against humanity, which is now, moving further along to development. We've seen Luxembourg, Sierra Leone, working towards advocating for a new treaty on child rights and the rights to education in secondary schools, and that's something that we're going to need to keep seeing in the years ahead.
Demikianlah tadi sebuah rangkuman mengenai laporan hak asasi manusia yang disusun oleh Sophie Bennett untuk SBS News dan disampaikan oleh Ricky Kusumo untuk SBS Indonesian.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.